What Radio, the music you want.
With your host, he's Dan.
Spoken!
RadioWhat.com.
What's up, party people? It's Keys Dan with RadioWhat.com, DJLittleRock.com, coming to you live and in living color from the Radio What Studios. And this is my podcast, What Makes You Famous. It's an extension of the RadioWhat.com internet radio station that I've been running for quite some time. And if you need DJ services, where do you go? DJLittleRock.com. Let me say that again. DJLittleRock.com. Check availability, get a free price quote, and maybe you can have me, yes, me, little OP, at your next event. I like to party with the people. I am privileged to party with the people, and I'd like to party with you. Did I use party enough in that intro? Maybe a little bit too much. Today on the program, I'm excited. Myra Ambreeze. You may know her simply as Myra. Yeah, who's that? Oh, you still don't know? You're going to get to know in the next few minutes, so stick around for that. This week's shows, yes, this is the part of the program where I put in what public shows and what private shows I'm doing. Well, due to the novel COVID-19 coronavirus, I have no public shows. I have no private shows. I have podcasts. I get to talk to people all over the world. So look up the podcast. And if I don't have people to talk to, I do another podcast. How about that? I have What Makes You Famous, hashtag What Makes You Famous. That's my interview podcast. And then I have What Makes You Smarter, hashtag What Makes You Smarter. That's my Filling My Brain with Knowledge podcast. And if you care to take the journey with me, hey, why not? And then I have Keys Dan Show. I just started that recently where I'm doing some live FB lives and recording those. And, you know, if people pop in and want to do a Q&A or if they want to call in and just check in, you have the ability. I have the ability to record calls. So I've been doing that on Saturdays, maybe Saturday afternoon or possibly Sunday, but probably Saturday afternoon this week. Anyway, look for me on Facebook and find out more about that. How about that? All right, let's, without further ado, let's get into it with Myra Ambreeze. And I get to talk to her on Skype. So if you're just hearing the audio version of this, I encourage you to check out my YouTube and find the video version of this. And you can see Myra's face. How about that? And my face next to it. I know, you'd rather see her face. I get it. All right, Skyping Myra now. I can see you.
Okay, perfect. Let me just adjust over here. How's life? So wait, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good. Everything is just fine. Miss Myra Ambreeze, you're on the What Makes You Famous podcast. I'm finally meeting you. It's Keys Dan. How are you? I feel like I've known you for at least 20 years.
Isn't that so true, though?
So funny? Yeah, I mean, you first came on. All right. Let's get into it, right? You know, you first came into my view, into my target area in 2001 when you sang a cover version of the famous Martha and the Vandellas song "Dancing in the Streets."
And
well, this is, you know, I'm working on terrestrial radio down in Miami, Florida, and you know, I was looking for stuff to play, and the station that I was working on was a bilingual station. They played two English, two Spanish, and I was the music director, and also on the morning show, you know. But I was looking for talent, for artists that I could find that would fit the programming. And I've always liked the song Dancing in the Streets. Yes, it was made famous in the 60s by Martha and the Vandellas. Then in the, I think it was late 70s or at least early 80s, Van Halen sang it.
A few times, yeah. Right.
And then Mick Jagger and David Bowie sang it. And then here is this young lady in 2001 that bust out on the screen. Her name is Myra, the same name as my mom, by the way.
What?
who just celebrated her birthday last Saturday. And of course, I have to talk to her on Sunday or Mother's Day, whenever that comes around. But Myra, yes.
Happy birthday, Mama.
If you haven't noticed in my voice, I'm excited to meet you, Miss Myra. Give the people a little idea. I mean, that's my jumping off point. That's where I got to know you. That's where I first started to know you. But give the people a little idea of who you are.
Of course, I was excited to get on here with you. And I know there's been a few obstacles, and not obstacles, but life, you know, happens. And we haven't been able to get on here sooner. But this makes me so much more excited. I was already super excited, but just hearing you, you know, this was 2001, right?
Yeah, yes, 2001.
Oh my goodness. so that is so exciting to me that you, I thought for some reason, I said, he probably doesn't even know who I am, which is totally fine. A lot of people don't. You know what I mean? But just hearing you, share that story just really made my day. So I started singing when I was five. And I was 5 years old, I know, so little. And I finally, you know, kept bugging my parents to help. And forever they were just like, well, choir, it's cool, we'll do it. And, you know, the plays and whatnot. And it was a lot of fun, but I wanted more. Mm-hmm. I wanted, you know, to connect with more people and through my music. So finally, at the age of 9, my father really, you know, took me serious. and thanks to him and the support of my immediate family, my mother, bless her soul as well, they were so supportive and so loving and just, you know, ready to move forward with this crazy, you know, idea that I had. Not so much idea, but it's just a blessing. You know, it's been a gift that I have received this this voice and just wanted to share it. So since that moment on, I've recorded a independent album with Mariachi when I was around, around 11. That was my first album ever. And I did that, you know, with all the struggles and, you know, it's expensive to get in the recording studio, or it can be. And so it was such a big point for my entire family. Just get out there more. Then after that came the bit of a crossover, I guess you can call it, because I was so focused on my heritage, my cultural music, which is mariachi. And with that album that I released, I was all over the place, thanks to many, many people that helped along, you know, the journey that we were on. And then I come back to and I get a call from someone that they're looking for Latina artists, you know, and this was Disney, of course. And so here I went. You know, anything I was looking for any opportunity like that that was there and available, I'd always try and go and knock at the door, you know. And so It worked out. I recorded actually. It's remember Magic Carpet, right? Yeah, with
yes.
Okay, you remember. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So I recorded. I covered that song, but I did the Spanglish version. Right. It was English and Spanish, and so it was. You remember that time? It was Ricky Martin, and I mean Enrique Iglesias, and even Christina Aguilera was doing more Spanish music then. It just became a thing where Latin artists were a little bit started to become more visible, you know, and it was a great movement. It started a lot. It did a lot for me as well. And so I got signed to Disney after recording Magic Carpet Ride for one of Mickey's albums. And so since then, the next song was Dancing in the Street. And then we did so many different projects, from 102 Dalmatians, Puppy Love, to the Mermaid, Part of Your World in Latin America. And then we went on to, we mentioned Dancing in the Street, which was for the film Recess, School's Out. And then we the song from Princess Diaries. I mean, the list goes on and on. We did a lot of Christmas projects and all these beautiful memories, you know, that I have of my journey with Disney. So then it was Disney,
Yeah. So Disney was a big part of your life. I mean, that definitely, it could have gone good or bad. I mean, I've heard the stories of child actors and once they get out of that, or child singers, once they get out of that, they have no direction. They don't know how to break free from that. And thankfully, I mean, yeah. How did that work out for you?
You're absolutely right. It's a tough industry to be in, just as a person, you know, let alone as a child, and being a female too, you know, there's a lot of pressures, you know, along with what you look like, what you're representing, and are you showing too much, are you not, you know, and then not to mention just life in general, you know, has all these negatives, and I'm going to be very transparent. You know, there's a lot of nerds in the industry, but I feel like that's just everywhere. You know, I was very lucky. I feel really, really, really blessed. I come from a really tight family. And so I've been guided by my parents, you know, most of my life. I'm almost 34, and I still listen to mom and pop.
I'm 51. I'm probably too old to be a Myra fan, but I don't think so. I think that music transcends age for sure. And music has power, and you have that power of giving music.
No, it really does. And you know what? It's been a crazy road, a long journey through just the different labels and the independent, you know, journeys as well. Just going at it independently has been, it's a struggle, it's really difficult, and like you said, you know, the industry is full of so much, and I've been one of the blessed ones, I feel, because I've been guided, you know, and there's always that voice, you know, behind it all, reminding me I started it, why I started it, my why, you know, my reasons. And of course, mother, so your why, I didn't know, change sometimes, you know, and so with becoming a mother now, my daughter is now 9 years old, just turned 9 a few days ago. Yeah. And so thank you. And so she, you know, all of a sudden I started seeing this sparkle in her, you know, and this, I guess you can call it, it's her own diva. She's her own diva because it's all her. Obviously, I'm going to take some credit for it, but it's exciting for me as a mother to see, you know, whether it's in the blood or it's something that she's been watching me do all her life, you know, which is sing. I sing whether I'm out singing or not. I'm singing in the shower, I'm singing in the bedroom, I'm singing while I'm folding clothes. You know, so it's been a blessing for me to watch her, see her development as well, you know, as a little artist, and her beginning this or starting this spark on her own has ignited, you know, once again, the spark inside of me, and also as a parent, just wanting to offer her, you know, more of a guidance and say, well, you know what, you know, do this together. You know, Mama wants to record some more and release some more, and there's nothing stopping us, and we should just go get it.
Myra, for those that are just listening to the audio version of this, and I am going to release this as an audio podcast, and I'm also recording the video portion of it. When you talk about your family and, you know, you growing up as a child, 9 years old, and your father and your mother believing in you and guiding you through your music, you can hear the joy. And then you, in turn, as a parent, you start guiding your young daughter in the same path. And I hear it in your voice, but people have to see the smile on your face as you're talking about how it's all coming around. And you're living again, like your own life. You're living again through your daughter. And,
right. It's like full circle, like you say. It you is. Know, and family, you know, me has not only has, you know, they're everything to me, right? But they taught me everything that I know, and I just feel this strong, you know, need to just be there for my kid as well. And I guess it's because, like you said, my family gave me that, and I couldn't imagine life without that, you know, without a parent believing. And that has to be one of the best gifts that life itself has to offer to any child, you know, any kid with a dream.
Yeah, you're giving gems to all the parents that are listening, and I do have quite a few parents that contact me and tell me about the different stories, how they've helped, how it's helped them through their journey. But what you're doing is you're letting parents know that whatever your kid is into, whatever joy, whatever makes them joyful, whatever they want to do, let them do it. Yeah. You could do anything you want as a child, and even into your 20s. I mean, I tell everybody in their 20s, do whatever you want. You're still made of rubber. For the Marvel fans, your Wolverine powers are still big. You'll bounce back. You will heal. You know, once you start to turn 30, then I say settle down a little bit. You know, figure out. By now, you should have figured out what you're doing, and then keep doing it. You know, but okay. You started music way before I got to know you, and it was mariachi bands. Right. Yeah, I mean, this is singing in Spanish. Now, was Spanish the first language for you?
You know, yes, Spanish is my first language. Correct.
Okay, born where?
I was born in Los Angeles.
Very good. I was born in Miami, half Cuban. Yeah, from what I understand, Spanish was my first language, and I would have my great-grandma watching soap operas in English, and my first job, I think up to the age of 4 or 5, was translating from English to Spanish for my grandma, my great-grandma. Yeah, so this is my job. You know, so. Oh, you're so sweet. Okay, and yes, family is very important to me as well. I was privileged to have my great grandma in my life, and now my 14-year-old daughter has her great grandma, my grandma, still in her life, 90 years old. Oh my goodness, it's so important.
Family is everything. You know, I just with them. You're reminding me of so many things that are just the root of life, you know, and where we're going and who we are and who we're becoming, you know. But I truly do. I believe it's to the love and support that I received from my parents. I'm able to give that back to my daughter now. And also because, like we mentioned before, it's a scary world, you know. It could sometimes be scary out there, and sometimes we don't know what we're getting ourselves into, you know, especially when we're coming from you know, no experience with that industry per se, you know. So I do have this huge sense of as well as my parents had this protection you know, thing they had to do with me as well. And that's cool for her too. I say, you know, they become mentally who they're going to be, and then they decide, you know. Yeah. And so as a parent, I feel like even though things could be scary sometimes, and I say this for experience, you know, that it's important to be there. It's important to be there 100, and that they know that you are the safe place, you know, and all their dreams and all their, and life itself is a safe. It's a safe place with you, you know, all their thoughts and their fears and their whatever it is, you know, that they feel like mom's always got my back, dad's always got my back, and no matter what. And so we try to, you know, teach our kids to do right. And so that's where we're at over here on this side. I keep forgetting where you're at. Why do I keep forgetting? Okay. I asked you before.
I'm in Conway, Arkansas right now. Okay. I ended up here. I married a hillbilly.
I love it.
Nice lady. But I met her in the Florida Keys. So there, you know, she was down in South Florida, and here we are. We got back here to be closer to her mom and dad.
Gotcha.
And so family is important.
That's right. You're awesome for that. You mentioned the Florida Keys, and I actually, one of my best friends, may she rest in peace, her name is Leslie Carter. I don't know if you're familiar with the Carters, but you know, she comes from the industry as well, you know, and you mentioned how was it like to be a kid in the industry and all that, and I miss her terribly, you know. Mm-hmm. There's sometimes things that happen in the industry, like I said, that if you don't have the right guidance, maybe the right protection, you know, things can go in directions that you never imagine. And so, like I said, that's why the parent is supposed to be present, you know, and in the child's life. And all we can do is continue to support them, right? And be there.
Now, once you get to a certain age, you know, people unfortunately start dropping off out of your life, you know, and it's sad when they drop off way too soon. And it's always too soon. I don't care if they're 152. It's too soon. Yeah. They should have died. And I think that there's scientists that are working on treating age like a virus and curing age. So maybe people can live to 200 years old, to 500 years old.
I know. And the reason why I thought of her is because we're talking about music. We're talking about the industry. You mentioned the Florida Keys. She was from there. She lived there. And I remember her when we were kids, she'd always invite me over. But my dad, being the total Mexican, you know, overprotective father that he is, you're not going anywhere. You know, which I totally am grateful for till today. And for the rest of my life, you know, will be grateful for the protection that a parent gives.
Well, unfortunately, I don't know who Leslie Carter is, or maybe I do. Explain a little bit more of who who she was.
If you remember the movie Shrek, we were on tour when we were kids with her brother Aaron Carter, and at some point we were, you know, hanging out with her brother Nick, also from the Backstreet Boys, doing some shows here and there. But I mean, we grew up together touring, you know, and so. And it's so personal to me, right? Because she was my best friend growing up, and I met her in that industry. And man, I just, you know, we got so close, and we were very, very, very different people, very different girls, very different kids. But somehow, through the love of music and the love of family, you know, just stayed friends, remained friends. And so she did the song. She got a platinum record for. Like Wow, it's called, for the movie Shrek. And so that's what we were singing when we were on tour. She was singing her awesome project songs, and I was singing, you know, Miracles Happen and for the Princess Diaries. I mean, we were out there touring for a good 2 years. I went a whole year, I want to say, without seeing my mother. So, you know, it's a tough industry to be in. And me, obviously, already been through it and you know, seen a lot of things, learned a lot of things. I don't give anything to. If that's the route that my daughter wants to take, I need to be there for her. You know, and lucky for me, we just will be sharing the same.
Well, Myra, you've already given people more gems. The life of a touring artist of any kind, music or dance or you know, even on stage, the life of a touring artist is hard on a family. You say you didn't see your mom for a whole year. And you being so tight with your mom and dad, how did you go by? Did you have to call her every day, 10 times a day?
Oh, you bet I did. I mean, there was times, I have to say, that sometimes, Dan, it's like, you know, being out there for such a long time and away from mom for such a long time. Obviously, I had dad by me at all times. And sometimes my oldest brother would also come with. And so it'd make it even that much more fun. I had a sibling with me. But we're five kids. So remember, we're a lot of kids. And so someone had to stay back with, you know, my other brothers and sisters so that they could get to school and also pay the mortgage, right? Someone's got to stay back, handle the fort, you know? So it was difficult, though. I, you know, even through phone calls, I remember I didn't never want to upset my parents, because that's this dream was something that I chose to do, that I begged them to help me with, you know? So, and coming from where we come from with my culture and just the background, you know, when you get to a place like America and there's all these opportunities, you want to never complain and you want to always be grateful. You know, and just be thankful that you've got a roof over your head, that your family is safe and healthy, and that's the beginning of it, you know. So I did. I missed her so, the other thing was with my mom is she wouldn't fly. My mom is like terrified of planes, right? So it made it harder to see her. And I remember a year into touring, very little sleep that whole year. Want to say I performed every single day of the month, every month for a whole year. If I was lucky, I'd get a day off every month. And so, yeah, my dad would like make the best time, you know, during that one day. But you know what I tell my dad? I just want to sleep. You know what I mean? It was a lot of work.
So this is over 300 days that you're on tour. Yeah, was this kind of a Disney maybe a type of a Disney showcase show?
It was so much, Dan. We started first with a Nickelodeon tour. And so, right. So first we did a Nickelodeon tour. That's the first time I ever met Leslie and Aaron. And we got to, it was Aaron's party tour at the time. And so. I remember Aaron's
party. I played that a lot.
Right? Yeah. I mean, Aaron was like Beaver back then, right? Or what he is now. He was back then. And right. So we were touring, you know, and we were going strong. And I remember after the Nickelodeon tour, they said, well, you know, everybody, I think this was what it was. Sorry, Aaron. the parents enjoyed my performance, you know, and I want to say because of the level of maybe the maturity in the voice as well as the music, you know, because I got lucky and blessed and got to work with awesome producers on that album. And so I got asked back on another tour. And so it was different tours. And there was always, whether it was like a fashion tour, whether it was Six Flags, of America tour. I even did a mall tour. But then, you know, got on a tour with Aaron and those guys. And then even do you remember 18? Mm-hmm. Like I'm speaking dinosaur ages. Do you remember the singing group 18? They sang.
Remember 18. Go ahead. School me. Teach me. Teach the DJ.
Well, they were the newbies. They were the new ABBA. You remember ABBA?
Oh, 18. Okay. 18. Yes, that's it for sure. I play them way too much. I have RadioWhat.com playing right behind me.
Right?
And I'm on the playlist. Every ABBA song. Yes, they brought it back to life. Now, were they from Sweden or from over there?
They were from Sweden. That's
that's the part.
Awesome kids, too. Loved being on tour with them. There were so many tours, you know, we got to tour with, I grew up in the bubble with Hilary Duff and Lindsay Lohan and Aaron and, you know, and all the pop, you know, acts from back in the early 2000s. So we had a blast. It was always a fun time. So, you know, but it was a lot of work, you know, a lot of work, mainly work and focus. And like I said, you have, for me anyways, I had this vision. I still have this vision of just being able to connect, you know, and share a positive message. A message of unity, family.
Yeah, in English and in Spanish, because I've heard it both. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to have that. You can touch two different cultures at one time. It's a wonderful thing. And I had a bit of that in Miami. Go ahead.
No, you're right. I mean, and yet going, one of my most amazing experience that I had was when I went to Japan. And I mean, we're talking English and Spanish here, but how did I end up in Japan? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it was an incredible experience. When I got there, I just couldn't believe the love, you know, and the support that that they're giving me. It was just unreal, you know. And till today, I just like I look back and man, Japan's always been so big for me. I was so surprised going there and being able to speak Spanish with a lot of Japanese people. Like, it touched my heart. And I was just like, I was so impressed. So impressed.
I mean, you got to realize, as much as a Japanophile that I am, I mean, I like Japanese culture. I'm interested in the people there, all things Japanese, including their, you know, I can count to 10. Ich ni song shi go rook si chach gu shi. So I know how to count to 10, and I've taken karate a bunch of times. So, I mean, the culture there is just wonderful. But you imagine, we love them. We love the culture over there. So they, in turn, have to see us as a totally different culture. So, they have to be amazed. I think that has to be a step up when we go from here, if an act can go from here to another country and bring what we have to them. Yeah, a lot of people say America has no culture, but I beg to differ. I think we have a culture. I mean, it's only 200 years old. It's not quite as old as some of the other cultures in the world, but certainly it is.
Right. No, we are so blessed here. So blessed. And you know what? And that's part of, for me, being able to travel around the world, including, you know, Mexico, other countries, Europe even, I've been able to take that with me. You know, I feel like I have two of you know, some of the best worlds inside of me. And so I get to share that. I'm bilingual, you know, and I love to sing both languages. And just like you said, connect in more languages. If I could, I'd connect in every language I could.
Now, you see, you do have quite an insight on the music business. You've seen it from both sides. Back when you started, you were at the mercy of a record label to make a record. You had to use their facilities. And now, so many years later, you know, you could become kind of the older person, the statesman who says,
"Did you freeze on me?" Well, there you are.
Okay.
You froze for a second.
How much of that did you hear?
I missed most of it.
Okay. Well, what I was saying was back, you know, you have the insight of seeing it from both sides, having a record deal with a major record label where you were at the mercy of using their facilities and going to their facilities. And now, so many years later, you could be the person that says, "Hey, back in my day, right, you know, we used to have to go there. And now I have a whole recording studio in my hands, pretty much." Or for under $1,000, you can have a pretty good recording studio in a corner of your house. Absolutely. Is that something that you have? Because you've avoided the downfalls, the pitfalls of being sucked, hopefully sucked up. You know, some people will say, "Well, the record company took all my royalties. They took everything from me." But you had your dad as your stage manager. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. And that's a whole other jar.
Well, we can play time. I mean, whatever you want to tell on your story.
I will tell you that I'm working on this just a short film, little documentary, you can say, because a lot of people, you know, think of being an artist as all these glitz and glamours, and there's so much behind it, Den. And I know you know, because we're sitting here talking about it. And so I want to finish putting it all together. Definitely send it to you because I want you to check it out. And basically, you know, it's going into detail about, you know, the pressures and just the things that I did go through. Unfortunately, my father only spoke Spanish then. And so that was a big barrier for us as a whole, as a team, as a family, in a way to protect, in a means to protect each other, because him not knowing that language and me being so young, you know, to be able to translate words from a contract, you know, is a whole other game. You know what I mean? So I will tell you there I do have a story, you know, and I think it's more common actually than a lot of people think. It happens in a lot of industries, you know. But I know recently I follow JoJo. You're familiar with JoJo?
Oh, for sure. Get out. Come on.
I'm freaking out about it because, well, I grew up listening to her, you know, and watching her. And then all of a sudden, just like me, you didn't hear anything of her for a long time. And that's because the label, you know, had a hold on her and her, you know, her music and all that stuff. So as an artist, you go through these things sometimes that people don't know about. And until you come out and you speak on them, you know, and you're able to not only, it's almost like just like releasing as an artist, you're releasing the truth of a lot of ugly, you know, that not a lot of people know. And it's good to know these things, especially as a parent, you know, because that's why I'm so, you know, even more so learning what I learned and going through what I went through with my parents in the industry. I got to learn all these things, you know, and so now I'm able to be there for my daughter in that area as well. Make sure that, you know, all the T's are crossed off and, you know, we got all that figured out. But definitely it's quite a game, you know, with that industry. And you just have to be careful, you know, and know that having someone there with you is always going to be helpful. You know, whether they know the language or not, I feel like even though I got screwed over on a lot of money, I feel like my father was there to protect me physically mentally, emotionally, you know, and money comes and goes, you know what I mean? And so that's all good. That's okay. And I believe in karma. I believe in all those things. And I believe as long as you just keep going and stay persistent and don't give up, which is what we're not doing, you know, things come around full circle and eventually visions do come alive and you're able to, you know, help others. And like you said, I have a recording studio set up at home. I am a vocal coach. That, I've just decided to take some students on today.
Wow, today. Yes. This just in. It's a scoop right here on the What Makes You Famous podcast. Myra taking students on. She's going to teach you how to be her.
Yeah, I mean, I've got so many tricks up my sleeve, you know, that I can definitely teach you a thing or two about vocals. And that's my passion, you know, that's where my area of expertise lies. I feel, you know, I'm so gifted in that area. Why not share and continue to share even the wisdom, you know, the things I've been through. And depending on where any artist wants to go, I'm available in that way, you know, and I feel blessed to be able to be available because I kind of feel like I'm making some kind of a counselor, I don't know, in the music industry.
Yeah. I mean, you could start a whole new profession, a whole new field. And I'm glad that you had your dad there guiding you, protecting you. But even in 2001, when you recorded your first album, and I'm guessing that's around the time that the tour was, you were still a little kid and you worked 300 days a year from the outside looking in. I mean, I think that maybe a record label could be taking a little bit of an advantage. Were you able to go to school? How were your studies getting taken care of at this?
I had a tutor on the road with me. That's how busy I was, right? But how much work did we really get? I don't even know. How much work did we get? You know what I mean? The time that
around 8th, 9th, 10th grade, somewhere around there?
I was, I was around 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. Yeah. Okay. All those years I had a tutor. And I really worked my butt off. You know, it's a shame that there's people out there that will take advantage, you know, of such a hardworking person, whoever it is, and at whatever age it is. It's definitely not okay. I love Disney. I'm not gonna lie. I love the people. They've been so good to me. They tried a few times to help the situation, and it was mainly management. You know, management at the time had more control over things than anything, and so unfortunately, without me and my father really even knowing that was the case, you know, so they basically made all their money off of merchandise and touring and, you know, just getting out there, being out there. So that's why it was so important to be out there on stage. For me, it was important because I've always wanted to build a team. I always wanted to, you know, if I was being, I wanted everyone to be, you know, I've always had these dreams of being helpful and giving, you know, and just giving, because our time here is limited. You know, and I've known that as young as, I don't know, I've been a very mature kid, you know, and so wanting a better life for my family, for others, for whomever I can be a part of, you know, in a positive way. That's all I ever really wanted to do with my music and connect. I've got to tell you that the best memories I have through all the ups and downs of the business and the missing my mom and my siblings, my sisters, my little baby brother, you know, even earning my gold record, because that was a great time of my life, going to Japan. You know, it's definitely a roller coaster ride, right? Throughout all that time, for me as a human and my whys, the reasons why I was doing, when I started getting calls from Wish Foundation, from Parents Against Cancer, from any organization where a kid called on me for a smile, for a hug, for a song, perhaps, you know, for whatever it is that their soul wanted. To me, that was the reward. To me, that was where I looked at myself as a human and I meant my calling. And if I can make a difference like that and continue doing that, I will forever do it. You know, it's something that it just, it feeds me. It feeds my soul. It makes me feel like I'm fulfilling my purpose, you know?
Oh, that is absolutely that says so much about you. I mean, once you make a certain amount, once you start to make it and you start to grow and you grow up, the next thing you need to do is become a teacher. And this is what you're doing. You have to give some back. You know, you get some blessings, as you've said, you've gotten blessings. You've got to bless other people as well.
Absolutely. I do feel blessed in that area with the things that I've gone through. Perhaps that's my other bigger gift, you know, that I've been through the things I've been through to be a teacher. You know, and I mean, even from doing things for benefits, right? And anything that had to do with children has always been so big. From that to singing for the UNICEF, you know, to gather money for the kids in Africa or Mexico or wherever it may be, and receiving a standing ovation by Nelson Mandela because we were both there doing the same thing for the same thing. Those to me are that I will forever in my life, you know, be grateful for those moments and to be able to share that with my daughter and with other children, you know, and share those stories and those memories and say, if I did it, there is no doubt in my mind and my heart that you can do it. You know what I mean? And the possibilities are just endless.
Absolutely. You've made so many friends along the way. You've named, I mean, some people would say, oh, that's name dropping. No, it's not name dropping. You have friends that grew up with you in the same business and they just happen to have hit records and lots of people know them as well. So yes, you have friends. And how often do you get to keep in touch with your Disney pals and the
You know what? I'm blessed to I'm always able to reach out, and that's always, you know, it's so special. Obviously, you become an adult, sheesh, and then you have children, right? And you both go your separate ways. I think that happens in life in general. But I wish I'd be able to get down to LA more often. With this going on, obviously the shelter in place, it's completely, you know, not really an option. And at the same time, it's like I said, like let's count our blessings, right? Because we got a roof over our head and all that good stuff. And friends always understand, you know. So I'm excited to get back, you know, when things settle down and God willing, everything, you know, just goes well. After, I mean, I know that everybody is like just, you know, going through things right now. I know I am, so that's why I'm mentioning it. Being home and being here, I'm just trying to kind of see what I can do with it, right? And do something positive with it. So that's why I decided today I need to start teaching lessons. You know, I woke up and I said, hey, you know what? I've got to continue giving, no matter if I'm here at home. You know, we'll do it all online. We'll, you know, so, or, you know, they could, I put it on my Instagram and I also shared it on my Facebook and all that good stuff. So, like I said, even though we're home and not able to connect with our friends, I'm so grateful for everything, the memories made and the tours, the family we have for each other. It's like having little mini families everywhere you go, you know? And so now I got you and you got me and I'm in California in Santa Rosa. So whenever you come up here, we're up north, we're by San Francisco, the wine country. Whenever you decide to come out here, I'd love to take you on a wine tour with your wife.
There in so long. San Francisco is one of my favorite places that I went to when I was visiting California. I think I did a trip when I was 16 years old with my family, and I was I remember it was so cold. Yes, I know the stories that I never had such a cold winter than a summer in San Francisco. But I remember there was you know, me being the performer, there was people that were doing street performance walking around the wharf, I guess.
Right.
And I remember there was one guy that was kind of standing there, kind of just a guy standing still. And here I was wearing a black and white, black and red striped shirt, long ways. And I said, well, let me see what happens. So I kind of stood in place for about 5 minutes and somebody put a quarter in my hands. I said, that was cool. 16 years old. So San Francisco is a pretty interesting town. But how often you don't get to to LA too often.
Since I became a mother, your priorities change. My main priority obviously has been keeping my kid happy and survival, you know, and working. And clearly now that she's growing and also tapping into this world that I never expected her to, I'm just in heaven. Okay, well, I'm so happy that I can do something with her that we both love, you know, and getting back to teaching as well as just recording and all that stuff. But and with all this that's going on, yeah, I haven't been able to get back over there. This year, actually, for me was planned out to be the year, you know, from start January and on. And some things happened. So it's been difficult. And with this also happening, you know, some personal things. And obviously, this is personal, too. It's personal for all of us, right, with the virus. It's changed so much. And so now we're just trying to always be grateful, period. That's number one. And number two, adjust, you know, and figure out ways. And what can we do to keep feeding us and keep giving, you know? So.
Oh, for sure, Myra. I mean, and for those that are listening in the distant future, and me with my arrogance, this just might be the only source of history for the people listening in 2030 and 2130 and 2530 and beyond. We are currently in May of 2020 with the novel COVID-19 coronavirus, which has us all on lockdown. And yes, the creators, the people in the service industry in particular, have been hit the hardest. You know, me DJing, you know, was everything. Just having fun with people. That's gone. Done. Thankfully, I have podcasts or I'd go crazy not being able to talk to people all over the world. And here I'm talking to Miss Myra. Yay. And you're amongst the 40.5 million people in California that are locked up.
Right. No, they're
outside.
That's right. So yeah, this is where we're at. And this would be awesome for my daughter even to look back on one day and, oh, you really talked about me, Mom. Of course. You become a parent and then everything, your world and your worries and everything just becomes your children, you know? So I only have one and I couldn't imagine having more than one. So my respects to everybody out there who has more than one children and how you have to, you know, there's a lot of you that has to be, dispersed, you know, like you have to share yourself with these little humans and give. So, you know, so I my respect to a lot of you out there.
Well, Myra, she has the advantage of you putting all of your energy and all of your power into her, whereas your mom and dad had five. I mean, brag on your brothers and sisters. This is your time.
You just hit the nail on the head. Like, they're my heroes. Are you kidding me? Do you know what I mean? Like, they truly showed me and taught me a lot about what sacrifices are and love is. You know, and so when you have that kind of bond, you know, and learn not just for myself, but for each other, you know, do it all for each other equally. We've been blessed enough in that dad and mom have always given us all the same opportunities, you know, and the same support. And it just all depended on, you know, how far you want to take it as an individual. But as far as like being tight like that, I've got such a wonderful like team, you know. I call it my team. They're my blood, they're my brothers and sisters. My oldest brother is like really, really my hero because he's the most wonderful father and husband, and to me there's just nothing that could top that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't care how rich you can be, how this, how that, the things you could have or acquired in your life, but being a good husband and a good father is just like, it melts me, you know, and it makes it, those are the things that I feel really matter in life, you know, and I have my sister, Miriam, who is in school right now. She's kind of going through a tough time with the whole, you know, virus thing, because she's been in school for nursing, so it's been pretty tough on her, you know, and a big hug and kiss to her for being the strongest, one of the strongest girls that I know, always willing to, you know, put herself out there to help others. And I think we share that, you know, we truly, truly, genuinely share that amongst them. And so my sister Cruz as well. She's such a good mommy, you know, and a big hug and kiss to her too. She's just a great human and learning, growing. She's my baby sister.
Okay. So that's where you fall. Okay. You got the older brother, the older sister, and then Myra in the middle.
Well, it seems like Miriam would be my older sister because she's accomplished so much.
She's mentioned her next. Okay.
Yeah. So it's my brother. Then it's me.
Then you.
And then it's Miriam, right? And then it's my sister Cruz. And then it's my brother Jacob. And of course, the baby, right? Like, he's just been spoiled since birth.
Good. And
yeah, and still is. And he's all so supportive, always been so supportive towards each other. We give each other a hard time, of course, like siblings do, you know? Yeah. But it's just because we love each other. And so I'm so grateful. I couldn't imagine life without any of the sisters.
Are they very close to you, or are they spread out throughout the country?
We are right, like, next to each other.
That's the way it should be. When I was living in Hialeah, I mean, I had grandma here, I had my great-grandma there, and I had my tia Beba right there, and and Armandito was back there behind them.
I love it that you got this Cuban in you. Like, I feel it now. I'm starting to want to dance.
Majuano de la Guantaramera.
Hey,
Wepa.
I have a Cuban cousin.
Hey, yeah,
that's fantastic. So supportive, man.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Yeah, and okay, in this time where we're all locked down, we're learning who the important people are in the world, the essential people, you know. And I know a lot of people have lost their jobs, and even a few people have lost their lives as well because of this. But you know, you say that your sister, Miriam, if she ever had a doubt of becoming a nurse, this, you know, if she still makes it through this, has no choice.
Oh, but you know, and she's forever. In there going 100, okay, and she's full throttle, and she's in it to win it and to help and to make sure that she does her part. And, you know, like I said, I'm just so proud of all my siblings. You know, they're all so talented and gifted and blessed. And Cruz as well, my baby sister, has a beautiful voice. She hides it from all of us.
Why?
I don't know. We'll have to get her to sing something with me one day.
You better believe it. Put her on the album, the next album. Myra, I'm waiting for it.
I'm going to. She's just incredible. And yeah, so of course, right now would be that time. And I see it in her, this fire, you know, and just wanting to continue to learn her part and finish what she started. You know, so that's very impressive for me.
Now, you went through, you were young when you started singing. I mean, after you got out of high school, did you ever think, well, maybe I should have a backup plan, or was it always singing?
Yeah, it's always been singing. I've tried these backup plans, and I always come back. It's always like what I'm. My soul yearns for. Like I said, you know, even becoming a mother and all the things I've learned along the way, just as a mother, even that has brought me around down full circle. And it, to me, it's like, as much as I've tried to sometimes zap it out of my life and continue with that plan B and C and yada, 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 it won't let me. So I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like, really? Is this it? Like, okay, well, you know.
You have the heart of a performer. You know, like I said, I'm 51. I'm still DJing. A lot of my friends, you know, and I wonder, am I too old for this? Am I too old for this? But then I do a senior prom, and the kids love it. And I do a five-year-old's birthday party, and the kids love it. You know, I'm that kind of DJ. I'm a mobile DJ. And then, radio DJ when I feel like it. But for the most part, you know, just a mobile DJ around town. And that's the kind of performer that I am. But you've had a worldwide success. I mean, I don't know that feeling of performing in front of so many people.
We're going to have to get out there together then and do this comeback and, you know, like, just get out there. I mean, and especially I think with these times then and everything that, God willing, is coming. We'll be able to do that.
Well, from 2000s up till now, what have you been doing as a performer? I know that you've been putting out music here and there, But are you getting on stage? How often is that happening? And it's not 300 days a year. Please, no.
No, I wish. No.
It's hard on a mama.
No. Now that I'm a mother and got my sunshine of Ray everywhere with me, I haven't been performing as much. I haven't been performing really at all. You know, so the few performances that I had planned out, I tell you, this year it was supposed to be a pretty busy start of the year for me. You know, we have our situation.
Everybody, it was going to be 2020, the year of clarity, the year of, oh, this is great. It's going to be wonderful. Yeah. And then January, whoo, that was a tough year.
Yeah. So I had to cancel a lot of shows, Dan. A lot of shows. And I was looking forward to, I know. You know.
Well, what kind of shows did you have lined up? And, you know, was it around town, I guess, somewhere around there?
Yes, definitely around town. I had a lot of them are for school. So just getting back in touch with, you know, with the kids and because of my background, it's been nice to always be able to connect with the children and because I'm a mom, you know, so I always want to spread that message of positivity. And, so that's where I was going to get back into, like, the high schools and the middle schools and just supporting my community around me, with any kind of beneficial event. Those are all the events that were planned out for this, as well as just getting back to LA in general, you know.
Well, it's a lot of sense, Myra, is to stay home, you know, close to where you can come home every day. You have to work at night. Hey, mama's got to go work at night, but then you're still home for that pride and joy, for that sunshine.
Absolutely. And nowadays I think of it like, I see Faith Hill and Tim McGraw, right? They take all their children on tour.
That is a possibility. You get the van.
I'm sure they perform once a week and get to enjoy the rest of the week wherever they're at. You know what I mean? But those are the benefits you reap from the hard work, you know, and dedication and never quitting, you know. Yeah. So it's important just to follow your dreams, you know, and even when you have those moments of like doubt and fear and you're becoming a parent for the first time, right? And you're like, this isn't for me anymore. But you know, what is for you will always find you. And, you know, and so you got to just find ways to stick by it and be true to yourself.
Yeah, it took you many years to be an overnight success. I mean, you are still going and still kicking. I mean, my goodness, you've been at this for, 20 years?
Yeah.
20 years almost now, more than 20 years. Yeah.
I will be releasing. I want to start, actually, I just said today, today I've been doing a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to do what?
I decided to set a date for this song that I had already been working on. I've been working on music for the past year. And so I've got some material that I, you know, want to get out there and just start releasing, no matter, you know, with this, no matter that we're going through, you know, I was right now.
No, I understand. I have rented lips at this time of night. Oof. No,
yeah, but so people need to entertain. I just want to continue to release it, you know, so. We're going to do that. And the end of this month, I'll be releasing one of these songs. And so we're going to continue. I'm going to just basically give you guys something to listen to. And hopefully it'll be more and more and more and more. It takes a lot of work. It takes money. It takes all that good stuff. But we're going to, you know, keep moving forward. And God willing, we'll have lots of support and we'll be able to do something together.
Well, I got
to
tell the people, you're a great follow on your Facebook and in particular on your YouTube. You know, I was kind of hoping that when I turned the video on, you were going to be in your Winnie the Pooh outfit. But, you know, hey, sadness, I'll just have to look at it on your Q&A. I encourage people to check out that latest video that you have on your YouTube. And, you know, I've definitely been to subscribe now. And
that was fun.
Oh, for sure. And I see you have Sparkle behind you. And Sparkle, is that your baby? Is that where your inspiration is?
You mean the name Sparkle?
Yes.
So Sparkle has been a thing it's been a nickname of mine since I was like in kindergarten.
Wow.
And so it just stuck, you know, it stayed and it, I mean, a lot of people reach out to me and they think that's my name, you know, I'm like Myra Sparkles. I'm like, no, actually, you know, but there's a story behind it. It's cute. It's, I used to wear glitter on my eyes, you know, and I was always a very talkative kid, always asking questions. Till today, I'm that kid, that annoying kid. You know, always trying to learn. I want to know everything. You know, why? You know, so that was me. And so I got nicknamed Sparkle by my kindergarten teacher. And so it stayed. And, you know, and so Sparkles is, you know, it's meaningful to me because we all have sparkle, you know. And we should all let it spark, you know, not be afraid. It's hard. It's hard sometimes, you know, but. But it's so much better once you just let go and just be, you know?
So did you ever get billed as Myra Sparkles?
No.
That would have been cute for a 9-year-old. Yeah, for a 9-year-old, Myra Sparkles. And then you grow out of that. But I mean, I always knew you as just Myra. That's a fantastic thing to have, is to be known for one name. And then you having the name of my mom, that just made me love it even more.
I love you, Mom.
Oh, and spelled the same way, because it's not. Well, I know that you were born with the M-A-Y-R-A, but she spells it the M-Y-R-A because she was born in New York in Jewish Harlem. And that's the Jewish way of spelling Myra.
Gotcha.
So what made you change it from the Spanish to the Jewish way?
So it was a lot of different things. There's a story behind that as well that I'll be getting into more in the documentary because it has so much to do with the business part of everything that happened. But one of the main reasons was because people would pronounce my name Mayra on the radio. So that was one of the main reasons. Short and sweet, you know, like one name, like you said, and that's what we wanted.
Yeah, there's not a Myra out there. We can go by one name. That's fantastic. And I mean, that had to make you feel proud that, hey, Myra, they're just going by one name. You're along lines of Cher and Prince and Madonna, all these biggies.
Yeah.
And Myra. Yes, your name's up in lights. I mean, how does that feel? I mean, I've seen my name on billboards and flyers and such. I mean, what was the biggest time you just see Myra up on there? And how did what was the time that made you feel the most? That's my name up there.
Honestly, I have to say there's been a few times. But one that I'll never forget, I was singing for the Special Olympics in Japan. And for me, you know, going back to just wanting to make a difference, it's key for me. You know, I just, wherever I'm at, I want to be a positive something, you know, a positive feeling, a positive vibe, a positive change, a positive thought, a positive word, a positive song, you know. So seeing that there really it made me tear up, you know, and singing or coming along with the, what is it called?
With the torch.
Yeah. coming on stage with the torch, you know, saying my name and having that experience was honestly so honored, you know, as well as being able to Nelson Mandela. And that was honoring. I mean, I feel blessed.
Yeah. It's nice. You touched a lot of people, and I'm sure a lot of people appreciated it. You know, the Special Olympics, we had that down in Miami, and I remember with the Hurricanes, down the University of Miami Hurricanes, we'd have Special Olympics things, and here I am, you know, amongst these football players, and I mean, the best things you could do is be a hugger
for
the
Special Olympics.
Oh, my goodness, and they feel it, and then they give you that feeling, and it's mutually beneficial. Okay, yeah, maybe you don't have $1 million to give to them, but if you give them a hug, means so much.
There's nothing wrong with love, you know, and being able to give it and receive it, it's like, again, one of those gifts, you know, like where if you're alive, that's when you know you're alive. You're feeling these things and sharing these things. You know?
I miss hugs. I miss a lot of hugs.
Me too, honestly.
I wasn't much of a handshaker because, you know, I meet, you know, hundreds of people every week. So yeah. Fist bumps and finger guns and jazz hands. Hey, how's everything going? Jazz hands. I think that's going to make a comeback. But, you know, meeting so many people, you're like, I don't know where my hands have been. Yeah, well, that's just fist bump.
Yeah.
But no, I'm having fun with you and I've had fun with you. And that's where you're at right now. And that's how you got to right now. But what's on the horizon? You're putting out music. You're going to try to do some schools once we break out and go play for the people. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I love the stage, any stage. You know, if you can get in front of 10, 15, 50, 1,000.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I share that with you. It's mutual. I understand. You know, it's just like said, being on stage, whether it's 1 to 1,000 to 80, I think 80,000 has been my biggest crowd, and I can't wait to get back to that, just because of, like I said, being able to move, you know, move in a positive way and make changes that are positive. To me, that makes me whole. And so being able to release music here pretty soon. And I mean, I don't know what's in store for us in general because of, you know, the lockdown and all that stuff. But I will say that as far as whatever I can do from home, I know some studios are open. I found that out today.
Hey.
Yeah, some studios are open, very few. But I'll be definitely most likely going there and getting some work done. And even working from home, recording from home and flying my files over to my producer and all that good stuff. But that, as well as finishing the documentary and releasing it, just kind of being able to tap back in with everybody, let everybody know where I'm at and what's coming, you know. But as far as the vocal coaching, I'm open right now. I have a few spots open. So I'm excited to learn and teach.
Well, how do they find you on the vocal coaching, Myra? People can be taught by the Myra.
Yeah, it's exciting. I do have, I guess, age limit, you know, because we have changes in our voices, and it's different for females as it is for males. So I've got a flyer up on my Instagram on official music, and it, you know, it goes through the ages and whatnot, but I'll actually be posting it on my wall because it's not on my wall. It's only on my story.
That's pretty much the brand. I mean, if they want to find you, it's Official Myra Music.
Yes.
You pretty much branded that and you got it all over. You got the Facebook, the Instagram, and the YouTube.
Right.
I think the YouTube is Myra Official Music.
We made the abbreviations mom.
Hey, I can dig it. And you became a mom. That's what you were destined to be. Fantastic. Family is important. We started with that, and we're kind of finishing with that.
Always. I mean,
Yes. All right. So on the horizon, I see nothing but great things. We're going to break out of this real soon. It's going to happen.
There's scientists
that are way smarter than me trying to figure out how to kill this little bug, this little coronavirus.
That's right.
And we'll be out soon enough.
Okay. Yep, we'll be take care of each other out there.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I usually finish these things off with last words for the people. You give words that you've lived by or just whatever pops into your head. Myra Ambriz, last words for the people.
Well, not my last words, but last words for the show. I just want to say I love you all. Take care of yourselves. We got to keep taking care of our family, our loved ones, our parents, you know, our parents' parents. So we gotta, you know, keep that going, taking care of oneself so that we're able to take care of each other as a whole. And so, don't give up on anything, guys, because I've made that mistake here and there because of insecurities and things that are really just funny, you know, but don't give up on your dream. Keep pushing and just remember to love each other and respect each other. And treat each other like you want to be treated.
Well, there you have it, party people. Myra Ambriz, or simply Myra. Very talented lady. She's been through it. She's been through it all, ups and downs. You know, from even before she was a Disney star, she was singing for the people in Spanish. So look for her music in English and in Spanish. She's pretty much got official Myra Music branded throughout. So look for her there. And if you don't find it on official Myra Music, then you could find it on Myra Official Music. That's where her YouTube is. And you'll find all that music out there. And I encourage you to check it out. Give it a listen. Put it on your Spotify list. Give that girl an extra few pennies because she's got a daughter to raise. Come on, people. I thank you so much, Myra. It was such a pleasure to meet you after all these years of playing your music. And it's good to meet your when you're a fan, it's good to meet the people that you admire and appreciate. And I admire and appreciate you. Thank you for being on the What Makes You Famous podcast. All right. If you'd like to tell your story, yeah, you. I'm talking to you. You have a story. Everybody's got a story. If you'd like to tell your story, I encourage you to give me a call at 501-470-6386 or email info@radiowhat.com. That's it for me. It's Keys Dan, radiowhat.com, djlittlerock.com. Peace. I'm out of here.
If you like what you hear, follow What Makes You Famous social media. Use the hashtag What Makes You Famous. Follow on Facebook at What Makes You Famous. Follow on Instagram at What Makes You Famous. Follow on Twitter at Makes Famous. And follow on YouTube at Keys Dan. Leave What Makes You Famous podcast a review and subscribe. Listen to What Makes You Famous podcast on Podbean, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and almost anywhere you find podcasts. Tell your story on my podcast, What Makes You Famous. Call 501-470-6386 and leave a message to set up a time. You can support What Makes You Famous using the PayPal link, paypal.me/KeysDan. Email info@radiowhat.com. What Makes You Famous podcast is a production of Keys Dan Enterprises Incorporated at KeysDan.com. Thank you for listening.
Radio What, the music you want, with some great quotes.
Nothing is worth knowing that is taught. Anonymous.
The music you want, radiowhat.com.
Hey guys, this is Shelly G. She said, what? Well, you are going to have to listen to the countdown to hear what I say. And make sure to keep listening to Radio What for more information and trivia. She said, what?